The text we're going to go through this morning is going to be in Psalms. It's going to be in Psalm 63 this morning. And I was just thinking about anybody ever being in a rut. You know, maybe the many decisions that need to be made in our daily lives, our present lot, or circumstances that we find ourselves in today. Somebody might be asking, what do you mean by rut? And I just looked it up for the sake of having a definition for it, and it says a habit or pattern of behavior that has become dull and unproductive, but is hard to change. Synonym for that is boring routine. I mean, sometimes it might be somebody wanting to be married. Maybe they're not employed and looking for a job. Maybe you're tired of the job that you had and you want another job. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's rearing up and raising our kids in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. And I was just thinking on, with this year, we know, but weird how just time just flies, and with this year moving quickly to a close and the new year fastly approaching, I was thinking as we set forth, I know most of us, if nothing else, I know we want to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and we want to draw nearer to Him. And so I was just thinking in the midst of our planning and in the midst of our looking back on what the Lord has done in our lives in 2017 going forth and 2018, Lord willing, that we'll just take a glimpse at King David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, how he could help us to be complete and equipped for every good work in the days that lie before us. Just a question, how many of you ever heard of a electrical cardioversion? It's a little hard for me to pronounce. Anybody ever heard of that? Oh, wow. Whoa. All right. Got a couple of people. Well, what it is, it's actually a procedure in which a brief electric shock is given to the heart to reset the heart rhythm back to its normal, regular pattern. And I guess the best way to give an illustration of it is they got these two, I guess, I don't know what you want to call them. I'm going to call them pancakes for the word's sake. And they put them on a patient's heart when their heart is irregular, and they jerk them. Set their heart back in rhythm, and thanks be to God for that technology. And for many, the Lord has been gracious to allow it to be helpful. Just like any other thing, sometimes it's not. And so if we're going to go, I'm going to read our text for today, which, like I said, is in Psalm 63. And it says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. For the mouths of liars will be stopped. Man. So I was looking into that. I just thinking about King David, thinking about the trials and the wilderness experiences he had, and then looking through the concordance, most theologians, Bible scholars believe that this psalm was written when David was in the midst of a trying time as his son Absalom was seeking to dethrone him, had sought forth to kill him, was after him, and so David and some of the troops had fled out to Judah, and so here we is. David pens this psalm, and I look at it, and it's amazing, because even in the midst of trying time, David, he was able to look towards his God. David said these words. He says, "O God, you are my God." That's a statement of assurance. It's a statement of facts. David is laying out that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, this is my God, and he's proclaiming it. He's joyful in it. And so he could take comfort in that, in the midst of whatever was taking place, that he was able to look to God. And this is a prayer, so he's able to lift this up before God as he petitions the Lord and comes before him, not seeking anything as far as a question, Lord, give me this or do this for me, Lord, or let this happen. It's just that the Lord, he's just like, oh God, you are my God. And so in light of that, just thinking about that, for those that are in Christ, you can look to this and take comfort and know that God is our God, and we can trust in him, and we can lift him up. But then at the same time, there's some here that are outside of Christ, and they can't enter into, oh God, you are my God. But at the same time this morning, as I like to say, it's just me personally, that if you are here today and you still have breath in you, there's hope. There's hope that salvation is available to you through Jesus Christ. We know what the Bible says. It's a blessing to be a part of this. I don't know how many people have never been here, but one thing that I can say about being at this church, it's a biblical church, and the Lord allows his gospel to go forth week in and week out. And so there is a Christ that saves man. And we do know that in ourselves, outside of a relationship with Christ, we're sinful beings. Men are lost. They're without hope. And through Christ, God gives hope that man might be saved. This Jesus came down to earth. He lived a perfect life. No sin. Up under the law, lived it out perfect, then willingly laid his life down at the cross for sinful man, paying a price that none of us could pay. Only the Lamb of God, without sin, without blemish, could pay this price. He laid his life down that you might have life. Not only did he lay his life down, he shed his blood, he died. Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinful man. He bore God's full wrath upon himself that men might look to him and trust in him for salvation. Because man's problem is man is sinful. And then outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, only thing man has coming from him is hell, God's wrath being poured out on him. And so the Lord allows Christ to bear man's wrath. Not only did Jesus Christ die at the cross, he was buried. The Bible tells us 3 days later, he arose from the grave. Jesus Christ fully, not only bearing our sin, but in being resurrected from the grave, showing that not only did he have victory over death, but he had power over sin, all power, and the death could not hold him in the grave. And he conquered it. He is risen. He lives today. And truly, anybody in here, man, woman, boy, child, girl, in simply childlike faith can look to Jesus Christ and have hope and be saved from the penalty of their sin. Why? Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. It's a word after that that I love that word, and it's just but. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's eternal life in Christ that man might have. And so there he is. There goes. You can have life in Jesus Christ, and then you can enter in with not only David, but all the saints of God who can repeat what David said and know it personally. Oh God, you are my God. And that's personal. It's not impersonable. I mean, I think I know Carlos. Some people might have heard of Carlos. I mean, he has a business. I'm pretty sure they run across him, but they don't know Carlos. They don't know him personally. And it's the same thing with Christ. You have to know him to be able to proclaim this. He has to be your Lord. He has to be your Savior. He has to be your God to be able to make a proclamation like that. And so today what I was thinking about was, while I was thinking on planning and things that went forth, I was thinking that there were three things that kind of stood out to me throughout this psalm that I thought would be helpful for us. One being that David prayed. Another being that David praised. And another being that David was able to take comfort in God's promises. It says, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. And that earnestly, when you look at that, that's like serious. It's not just some little side of seeking. It's like David was literally pursuing the Lord. And I know in life we could pursue some things. I know I found myself pursuing some things. But this is a man's earnest heart's desire to pursue God. And that's what he did. With all he had, in the midst of all the troubles and trials, David could have said anything in this psalm. But what the Lord allowed him to pen is, earnestly I seek for you. Remember, he's in a dry and weary land. I'm pretty sure if it's hot outside, he's thirsty, he can use some water. But this is David saying, I earnestly seek for you. More than even the natural things in life, David's desire was for God. Said, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as it is a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. When David thought back, so to speak, you know, David, they used to have the ark. Was in the tabernacle. David knew the presence. Now he's outside of Jerusalem. He's pushed back. But he's saying, so I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. David knew what God had done. He knew the presence of the Lord. He had been in the midst of I'm going to say the Shekinah glory. And he knew that experienced it personally in his own life. And at this time, he's, so to speak, a little off. He's in a wilderness. He's in a trying time. But he experienced God's presence before. So even in the midst of his trial and even in the midst of his wilderness experience, David was still able to lift up his voice and unto the Lord, knowing that God had been there for him, and he was assured that God would be there for him. He says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So in the midst of what was taking place, David was able to offer a praise unto the Lord. I think back, kind of skip through a little bit of the notes. I got them here. Now just put here, keys to victory in the wilderness. I put here, early seeking God. Seeking God early. Christ sought the Lord, says, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Says here, after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Says, but he withdrew himself to a desolate place and prayed. This is our Lord Jesus in the midst of his wilderness. And David did but when you really look at it, David did what the Lord had moved him to do, was pray. And that's what I think that we as believers can do in the midst of our wildernesses, whatever that might be, is to lift our voice up to the Lord in prayer. Three, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Psalms 22:3 says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Christ in Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Matthew 26:30 says, and when they had sung a hymn, it's repeated in Mark 14:26. So David was able to praise the Lord in the midst of what was taking place in his life. In the midst of thirsting for the Lord, in the midst of wanting to seek the Lord, David was able to praise the Lord in a trying time. And that's what our Lord did. He praised the Lord. He lifted up his voice unto the Lord through singing, through hymns. David says, my lips will praise you. I will bless you. I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied. My mouth will praise you. I will sing joy. I shall rejoice in God. That's a thankful heart. And so just another thing that in our midst of whatever we might be going through, that we can praise God in the midst of it, looking to Christ and the finished work that he did on our behalf on the cross, the salvation that we already have in Christ, and taking our eyes off of our circumstances or situations that we might be in. Five says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David was a man that called to remembrance the things that God had done on his behalf. So I was just thinking about David being in that midst of that wilderness, in the midst of that trying time, and all of the things that could have been bombarding his mind. Like, okay, his son is after him, trying to kill him. He wants to be dethrone him from the throne. And he's calling to remembrance things that had happened prior in his life. Maybe it was Goliath. Maybe it was the lion. All of these different things that God had done in time past, he's remembering these things as he's meditating upon God's word, as he's thinking about the things that the Lord had done for him in his life. And remember, in the midst of all of this, this is giving David victory. Why? Because he could be in the midst of a pity party. Now, does that mean he wasn't afraid? I'm pretty sure David had some fear in him. I mean, somebody's out to kill him. That was real. But his mind and his eyes were set on the Lord. And that's where our minds and our hearts need to be set on in the midst of whatever we're taking place in our lives is the Lord. He says, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And just thought about Psalms 34:6. Says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Our God is able to keep us. He's able to give us the victory in the midst of whatever we might be faced with, whatever we might be going through. Our God reigns. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. David said this in 5. It just says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. I like that. He said his soul. David is thinking about, David's mind is not set on what's going on earthly. His mind and his heart is set solely on the Lord, seeking those things that are above. Just simple. But so hard, it seems, at times. You know, sometimes the Lord allow you to be in a situation like this. Like today, I'm up here. Man, none of you guys don't even have a clue how this, me standing up here, it's real hard for me, man. I believe I'm the least that should be up here of anybody. But when you're up here, you're thinking about, it's the Lord, though. You know, I mean, it's our God. And you realize sometimes you're here and everybody out thinking, okay, what is he, where he going? What is he helping for me? You know, no, man, it's for me. The Lord just allowed me to share it with you. What do you mean? I mean this. We have to keep our eyes set on Christ, on the Lord. Why? Because this world has so many things that it can grab our attention with. You know, we can get caught up in our businesses, our finances, our troubles, our jobs, our heartaches, our pains. All of these things can seek to steal our focus for what's really important, which is Christ. Our seeking Christ, our praising Christ, our looking with faith unto the promises of God. You say the promises of God? Yeah. Man, Jesus Christ said he was coming back. Think about that. Do you ever just really think about that? Jesus Christ said he was coming back. When I looked through the scriptures, man, Peter then was waiting. That was a long time ago, but they was waiting. Like, he might be back today. Do we live with that expectation? Are we living with that mindset that Jesus Christ is coming back? I believe that David was living in that time that Jesus Christ was coming. And he believed that. He believed that a Savior was coming. Now, we're on the other side. Jesus Christ done came. He done died. He done paid for our sin. He was resurrected. He done ascended on high. He's interceding for us presently. I'm thankful he is because I know he prayed for me. But do we have that expectation that Christ is coming back? Could be today. Could be in a minute. But are we expecting him to come back? David says, "But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals." I just put a little note here. It says, God will set all things straight. I think David believed that. No matter what was happening in the midst of David when he was in the wilderness, thinking about Absalom, thinking about whatever troops was coming after him, at that time he was able to really believe and have settled in him that God was going to make it right. Why? Because he's sovereign. He knows what's going on. Remember, he says, "Oh God, you are my God." That was enough. If I came here this morning, that's all I said, and went and sat back down, that's enough. "Oh God, you are my God." It's a lot. I know if Tim was up here, he could take that one and he'd preach a whole hour on just that. And I praise the Lord. James 1:12 says this: "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life." That's a promise. I think it is. I believe it is. Revelation 2:10, second part. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Before that, the Lord has said, "Don't fear what you're about to suffer." So just in thinking about David and him going through, we know that David was praying to God. We know that David was praising God. And we know that David had in his heart, through meditations, through thinking about the Lord, he had God's promises in him. David had enough. You know, the battle is real. It's not fake. The battle is real. And we have to not only continue to press on, We have to trust God in the midst of it. You know, I was just thinking about Ephesians 6, 10. And I think if we, in looking at Psalm 63 and thinking about David and him praying and him praising the Lord and him looking to the Lord in what God has promised, I was thinking of this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore. I'm just going to stop there in that text because I'm thinking if we're putting on God's armor and he's allowing us to stand with his armor on, there are things we need to put on. And I do believe that prayer is one. I do believe that praise is one, could be utilized in our lives in that situation. And I do believe that if we're believing and looking to the Lord and his promises, that that can get us through. So when I was, like I said, back when we kind of begun, I was talking about how fast it seems like this year is ending and how swiftly the new year is coming along. I was thinking one thing that we could keep in the forefront of our minds is what our Lord says, and that was that we're to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that we believe God exists and he would reward those who earnestly seek him. And I think in Psalms we had a great picture of that. We got a great picture of David seeking the Lord, trusting in the Lord, praising the Lord, looking in great encouragement and faith in what God was going to do to his enemies. In 11, it says, but the king rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exalt, for the mouth of liars will be stopped. I just say, brethren, be encouraged. Whatever your wilderness is, you can look to the Lord. He is our God, and he's on the throne, and whatever he allows to come in our lives is testing. And God, sometimes through testing, is what's best for us. He burns off the impurities in our lives. He shows us ourselves, our sin. He promised to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And I know I don't like tests. I didn't like them in school. And then in this following Christ, for me, I'm like, the Lord gives me grace, gives me mercy. And he does the same for all his children. He says he loves us. I mean, we don't like discipline. The kids don't. We don't like it. But it's for our good. It's for our good. So, brethren, just in your time, just look on Psalm 63. It's a lot there. A whole lot more than I spoke about this morning, but I think it's encouragement to know that we have a God that we can look to in the midst of wilderness experiences, and we can take great comfort in this ain't our home, and we're hidden somewhere. That's it. Father, Lord, I thank you for your help. Thank you for grace and mercy.
I thank you that you're not like man, that you allow. I thank you that I can trust in you, and we can trust in you, and we can look to you and where we at, and Lord, you are our rock, you're my deliverer, you're our strength, you're our place of refuge. And Lord, even in the midst of wilderness experiences, we can take great courage in knowing that you've promised to never leave us, to never forsake us. So even in the midst of trying times, we can know with assurance that you're with us. And oh God, I pray that you would be with my brothers and sisters and those unspoken requests that they have in their lives, Lord, when they're in the secret place. Lord, I pray that you would meet with them. Lord, help my brother James as he shares today. Father, fill him with your spirit and with power. Help our brothers throughout the U.S. who are preaching this morning and those abroad, that they might glorify you as they stand before your people and break bread. Lord, I just thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.